You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. Sorry it took me so long to get a new show out, but I've been absolutely buried. I've been rushing to finish up a book before the holidays so I can take a short breather and spend some time with family. Also, I recently released Black Swan Book 2, Carry On. That's now available in paperback, Kindle, and of course audio edition, so pick up your copy today if you haven't already. Black Swan is about an economic collapse, which is my favorite thing to write about, so I think this is my best series yet. As I promised, I've got a list of wild plants which can be found in a large part of the country, and I'm going to talk about their medicinal values today. Most of the research I've done has been on plants that thrive in the southern Appalachians, so if you're way out west or down south, this list might not be as useful to you, but I hope it will encourage you to look at the weeds growing in your own backyard and see what could potentially be of use for you. Obviously, this is a podcast, so you'll have to look online for pictures so you can learn to identify any of the plants that I mention, which you might not be familiar with. One of the plants that's most plentiful around here is the buckhorn plantain. Poultice from the leaves or a tincture can be made by soaking the leaves in an apple cider vinegar, and that can be used as an antibiotic or a pain reliever. You can put it on cuts, stings, blisters, poison ivy, eczema, psoriasis, burns, sunburn, and you can also use it for hemorrhoids. If you're out in the field and you happen to get stung by a wasp or a bee, you can just chew up one of the leaves from a buckhorn plantain and put that straight on the sting or the bite, and that's going to help alleviate the pain and draw out the toxins that are injected by the stinger or bug bite. Tea from the leaves can be used to treat diarrhea, constipation, colds, fever, cough, bronchitis, sore throat, and even indigestion. The broadleaf plantain is also very common around here. The broadleaf plantain is very nutritious, and it can be eaten raw or cooked, and it has many of the same characteristics as the buckhorn plantain. Plus, it has a few other added benefits. Broadleaf plantain, now that's the one with the long stalk of seed growing up from the middle of the plant, whereas the buckhorn plantain has a long stem shooting up from the middle, but only has a very small head of grain on it. Eaten raw or roasted, the grains on the broadleaf plantain are said to lower cholesterol and can also help with blood sugar issues. They have a slight asparagus flavor, so they make a nice sad dish if you're looking to make a meal out of foraged foods. Tea from the leaves can also be used to treat UTI and bladder infections. Red clover, that's growing around most of the country as well. The flowers from the red clover can be dried, and they can be made into a tea, or they can be made and eaten into foods. That's said to slow cancer, thin the blood, which could have a mild pain-relieving effect, ease PMS, cough, and raises good cholesterol. I've read some articles saying red clover shouldn't be ingested by women with breast cancer because of the estrogen-like qualities. White clover is also edible and has some medicinal values as well. Flowers of the white clover can be dried. They can be made into tea or eaten in foods. And this is said to treat arthritis, coughs, colds, and fever. Tincture from the leaves can also be applied topically to treat gout. Juniper produces berries in the fall. Those berries can be taken orally, and they're said to fight cancer, treat heartburn, UTI, kidney stones, bloating, and gas. Berries can also be rubbed on joints for arthritis pain. Pine needles, these grow almost everywhere in the country. Tea from the needles can be used as an antiseptic, an astringent, anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, or an expectorant. The tea is high in vitamin C and can help ward off colds, flu, coughs, congestion, and scurvy. I'm also going to talk a little bit about apple cider vinegar. Isn't necessarily a naturally occurring plant, but it's cheap and has a lot of health benefits, which are worth looking into. ACV lowers cholesterol, lowers blood sugar, kills bad bacteria, while at the same time acts as a prebiotic, which is the food for probiotics. It's also possibly an anti-carcinogen, which may reduce your odds of getting certain types of cancer. Also, if you have glycemic level spikes and troughs, apple cider vinegar can, it slows the way that food enters your system. So you don't have those real highs and lows of blood sugar because the nutrients are entering your system slower. Queen Anne's lace, which is also known as wild carrot, this one can be confused with hemlock, which is highly toxic. So make sure you know which one is which before foraging for wild carrot. Tea from roots can be eaten cooked or raw to break up kidney stones and cleanse the liver. And anyone who is pregnant or trying to become pregnant should not ingest wild carrot. So I hope some of those home remedy tips are useful for you. And maybe next spring you can get out and start looking for some of those plants and try them out, taste them, and get familiar with them while you have the internet to help you in identifying all those plants. In other prepping news, California continues to burn. Frontline, which is a news show on PBS, just did an in-depth film on last year's campfire in California. That fire killed 85 people and destroyed the town of Paradise. If you can look past the liberal agenda and the global warming nonsense, it's a very informative piece. Frontline is by far the best producer of far-left propaganda. One of the reoccurring themes in the documentary was the deification of the state. So many people lost their lives because they believed the government would let them know when it was time to evacuate, and they'd come get them if they got trapped and they couldn't get out. The film actually plays the 911 call of a woman trapped in her house who couldn't escape the raging inferno. The 911 operator tells how tragic it was to know he really couldn't do anything to help this poor woman. Another interviewee tells of how she begged her mother to pack up and evacuate with her. However, her mother's absolute faith in the power of government caused her to stay behind because she'd not been told to evacuate yet. The young woman talks about her guilt over leaving her mother behind, who turned out to be one of the 85 people who died. When the evacuation order was finally issued, only about half the town received it. Everyone tried to flee at once, and the roads became gridlocked with fire raging on both sides of the road. When you have to leave in a hurry, seconds count. If you have an overnight bag packed with all of your important files on a flash drive, you can bug out in a matter of seconds. In cases like hurricanes and fires, being first on the road means you won't be trapped in gridlock, and it also means you can get out of the way for the procrastinators behind you. Then, at least you're not adding to the problem. I never let my tank go below halfway, so in the event of a rushed evacuation, I can go at least a couple hundred miles before I have to stop. In most instances, that's well out of the way of the threat. The lessons we can take away from the California fires is that more likely than an EMP or a complete financial collapse is a localized event or a personal event that destroys your home and or puts you out of work for several months. As I've said repeatedly on this show and in the 7-Step Survival Plan, keeping your finances in order is the best hedge against these types of situations. If you have an emergency fund that will cover 6 months of expenses when a fire, an earthquake, or a hurricane destroys your home, you're still going to feel the pain, but it will be much less stressful because you have that financial cushion. Also, if you have an emergency fund set aside, you're more likely to evacuate early because it won't be such a financial hardship if you leave and nothing ends up happening. Next to getting right with God and taking care of your health by exercising and eating right, managing debt and keeping an emergency fund is the best move you can make towards preparedness. All the beans, bullets, and Band-Aids, that all needs to come after those concerns have been addressed. In economic news, the Fed seems determined to postpone the next wave of economic turmoil. On October 23rd, CNBC reported that the Fed is raising its capital injections from $75 billion to $120 billion a day. That's with the Dow still near all-time highs and the 27,000 range, and unemployment close to historic lows. So what's the problem? The repurchase markets, also known as the repo markets, are drying up. These are the underlying agreements between investors, banks, and borrowers that provide liquidity for short-term loans. That's only one part of the economy, but a failure in a repo market could create a domino effect similar to the one caused by the subprime market. If you'll recall, Ben Bernanke assured us in 2007 that the subprime market was completely contained and not a threat to the rest of the economy. The Fed is refusing to use the term QE for the $1 trillion created every 8 days. And nothing to see here. Move along. I realize this month's show is very short. Part of the reason behind that is because I've just not been able to get the hang of recording these monologues. It's just not as natural for me as doing an interview with a guest. I will be back in Florida some this winter, so I'll be recording some interviews, which hopefully are going to flow a little bit better. I'm sure you guys have felt it as well, and I really appreciate you staying with me. I'm going to try to find a way to record interviews going forward into 2020. So hopefully we'll get a little bit, we'll get back to the old format a little more, and the show is going to be a little smoother. Although it probably will be once a month as opposed to the once a week interviews. December is going to be another busy month for me as well, but I'll try to get a show out before Christmas. I hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving and that you'll take some time to meditate on all the blessings God's given you. And I pray he'll continue to bless you with health, prosperity, peace, and the wisdom which we all need to navigate the uncertain times ahead. So happy Thanksgiving and happy prepping.